You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The reason this league is as soft as it is because of them damn Detroit Pistons. They were the ones that made this league soft.
Damn.
Oh, they had hell no.
Oh, it's their fault? It's like that?
No,
Jordan, they were protecting Michael Jordan, and then the rules of the game changed. You guys did not only foul once. I love that shit. I was telling somebody shit the other day. I said Detroit had the shit where they would foul you once, but that gave the other dude the chance to foul your ass too. You'd be like,
you guys would make sure that you guys spread them around, get the foul going.
No. The funny thing is that we knew, okay, like Dominique would come to the hole. Then you remember how Neek would come up to the hole. We'd foul him once, and then next year we fouling him again because it's like, we told you don't get up in here and try to dunk on our ass. We're going to try to, you know, you come in, you're going to feel that floor.
The big girls love that. Chicks love the last shot opportunity. Somebody, give me a napkin so I can wipe my mouth.
All right, it's another episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. I am Josue Pavone, joined by, of course, my co-host, Cedric Maxwell, bringing it in the new year. Hope everyone had a great new year, safe holiday. And we got a special guest, man. We're coming into 2024 with a very special guest. He's Rick Mahorn, 89 Pistons champion. He's in his 20th season as the radio commentator for Pistons Radio. He's Rick Mahorn. He's on the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. What's going on, Rick? How are you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. I'm very, you know, I'm very excited to being on this podcast with Cedric.
No. Hold on one second, Mac. We keep it 100 here, man. That's not the Rick Mahorn I was just speaking with.
No, you saying 100, you keep it 100, not 100. We keep it 100.
I didn't say 100.
You old fake.
I didn't say it right. You're right. We keep it 100.
Whatever you are. Anyway, what's good, man? What's good?
Nothing much, man. You tell me. You're on the road out west. Celtics getting ready to take on that same Utah Jazz team. But, of course, we're going to talk about the Pistons and the rest of the NBA. But how are you doing? How was your new year?
Oh, my new year is great. I mean, I made it into 2024. I guess I'm still the same as I was in 2023, just a couple of days older.
Broke the fucking streak, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
We should have broke it when we played y'all last week.
Yeah, I saw that one coming. Yo, what were you two talking about, by the way? Which, by the way, for our viewers out there, if you're not a stranger to the media section during the Celtics and Pistons game, this is common. But I want to know, in this particular situation, with a 27-game losing streak on the line, what were you two yapping about?
I'll go first, then, since I'm the senior here. Rick was giving me some shit early on because they went ahead by 20 points. And I kept telling them, I said, just wait. And eventually we reeled their asses in. And I turned around and did like a fishing hook and grabbed my boy and I brought him back in. But they played well. And what surprised me about all that, Rick, is really how can a team lose so many games and they play that hard? Those dudes play hard, man. And I'm just shocked that they can lose that many games.
Well, the fact that, you know, you say that they play hard, you have to play hard every night, bro. We played against everybody. It didn't matter who it was or what the score was, because sometimes people underestimate what your ability is. And these young men have a great ability. It's just trying to get it 48 minutes all together. Some that, you know, you'll go like, okay, you'll have three great quarters, but then that fourth one of those quarters, you go, oh man. But I mean, ever since you know, ever since the game against you guys up there in Boston, it's been a total turnaround as far as intensity. And that's what you need to have, intensity and identity. And hopefully this, these last couple of games that we even started in this new year, we've lost one. It was kind of ugly at the second half, but the first half against the Houston Rockets was a very good game. And then that second half, you know, the turnovers. And then last night, the game against the Jazz, it was the turnovers. And so when you have a team that's, you know, have the youth, but also some of the veterans, like even last night watching Bogdanović, you know, go off on his old Utah team and Alex Burks, they played, you know, it was like it was one of those like a heavyweight fight, and it went into overtime, and you go, hey, we can get it. We can get it. But, you know, hey, sometimes you don't get this call or that call. But you know how it is. It's basketball. It's always ebbs and flows of this game. And I'm just hoping that the Pistons can right the ship a little bit more, especially in 2024.
Well, the thing that really more so amazed me about that game in Boston was your statement after the game. First time I hear Rick saying, you know, he said, Brad, that was a good game. That was a good-ass game.
And, yes, and, it was.
Know, and you and I, we see so many games. We've been around so long. You're going, yeah, that was a game. But that was a good, hard-fought game. Your guys played hard. The Celtics played hard. And the Celtics, you know, the Celtics were trying not to be that team to get off that, let Detroit get off that losing streak and fortunate for Celtics were able to do it. I want to ask you about, you know, this league and how it's played, because obviously you were one of the more physical guys ever in this league. You and I don't know why it comes out, you and Charles Oakley. That's always Rick Mahorn, Charles Oakley. That's all I hear. And I remember you teaching, you know, Charles Oakley the ropes when he first got in this league.
Well, the thing is, Brett, you know, we come from HBCUs, and every time you look at it, we always had to fight, you know, between Oakley or even Ben Wallace, guys, even like today's that we have Robert Covington in from Tennessee State. It's always being understated that we went to a small, you know, went to a historically black college where you say, oh, they really ain't had no basketball players there. But if you look at the history, I mean, come on, man, you look at the history, you got guys like Willis Reed, Clement Johnson, I mean, guys that you go, look, Sam Jones from
Earl Monroe,
Bobby Dandridge. So I look at, I mean, it's a plethora of guys that played in this league that are from historically black colleges. We just don't get to do. And then while we're in there being physical, that's what we do, because we always knew we had to fight in order to establish ourselves, even in college. And you know that being down there in UNCC. And so I just look at it going, wow, basketball has been very, very influential with me, the way that we play. But when I saw that game after we played you guys, we ended up playing, breaking the streak with the Toronto Raptors, and they just made this huge trade. And, you know, we could talk about that, you know, OG Anunoby going to the Knicks, and then, you know, they're picking up guys like IQ, Emmanuel Quigley, and a couple other players. But this is what this league is all about, trying to find, you know, where last night was the first time it was a high scoring all across the board. I mean, 100, and we almost had 150 points, but this is what the league is looking for. It's entertainment.
Well, wasn't it entertainment when you played, you and I played?
It was entertainment when we played, but we learned a different brand of basketball. You know, Brad, it was like, who's got next? We ain't want to take who had. We want to stay our asses on the court. Fuck that. You know, you go like, who's got next? Fuck that. I want to play. You know, it's like, I'm trying to stay on the court. And we used to play outside in the street. Now it's a totally different. It become as this league grows, you find guys, oh, I got my own trainer. Oh, and I got my own nutritionist. And, oh, I got my own cook. And, I mean, hey, if you can enjoy life like that, that's cool. But we had it. Remember, we grind. It was a grind of just even getting in the league, or just even a grind to even have something to eat. You know, you look at it, we'd be on the road. It's like now you can go get breakfast is right there. But back in the day, you catching a commercial flight, our asses was sitting up there eating hot dogs with sauerkraut or some shit like that. Because I remember Jeff Ruhlin, every time we would go on a trip, he would go get a hot dog, sauerkraut, and a chocolate milk so he can be stinky as hell on the bus. I mean, you remember, Brad, we sit up there in first class and you go... Oh, somebody just cut one. Oh my God, it's nasty as shit.
You guys all have to pay for that, huh? Damn.
Yeah, we all have to pay for it, especially if you sleep. And then, you know, somebody turn around and look at you, be laughing like they about to pee on themselves. And it's like, man, this is disgusting.
Score early this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 money bet. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 money line bet. That's $150 if your team wins. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get in on the action. The app is so easy to use. There's a wide range of betting options, including spreads, player props, over-unders, and more. So visit FanDuel.com/Boston and kick off the NFL season. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Massachusetts. Hope is here. First online real money wager only. $5 pregame money line wager required. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 800-GAM-1234.
But this is what I'll say about this league, Joe Sway, and this is for Ricky Mahorn. The reason this league is as soft as it is because of them damn Detroit Pistons. They were the ones that made this league soft.
Hell no.
Oh, it's their fault?
Brett, I can't let you.
They were protecting Michael Jordan. And then the rules of the game changed. You guys did not only foul once. I love that shit. I was telling somebody shit the other day. I said Detroit had the shit where they would foul you once, but that gave the other dude the chance to foul your ass too. You'd be like,
yeah, you guys would make sure that you guys spread them around, get the foul going.
No. The funny thing is that we knew, okay, like Dominique would come to the hole. Do you remember how Neek would come up to the hole? We'd foul him once, and then next year we fouling him again because it's like, we told you don't get up in here and try to dunk on our ass. We're going to try to, you know, you come in, you're going to feel that floor. But it was just the fun. You know, it was more of the competition where did we change the rules or did you want to market certain people? And then in the league, and Michael was the new generation. You know, you had Doc who was older. You had Bird who got older. You had Magic who was getting older. Who's going to take the league to the next level? And so, you know, David Stern, them say, okay, this is going to where we're going to have Michael. And then now all of a sudden everything is individualized. You know, it's like, it was like, okay, well, it used to be, we played the Celtics. It was on and popping. But now it's like when I see last night, it was a game, Indiana and Milwaukee. Now, that is like that's some bad blood right there. And Brad, you know it's some bad blood when you saw them trying to get the basketballs and stuff. And then last night, Indiana just whooped their ass again. It's like, damn, man, y'all lost to them 4-1 in the regular season. But it's a totally different animal now. It's like you got zones, and I'd be sitting there looking at in college. We used to see zones. Some people, you know, being from an all-black college, ain't nobody really throw no zone on you. But when they did throw a zone on you, you better learn how to play. That's fundamental basketball.
Yeah. What's something about your generation that you think carried over to this one, if you have to think of one thing in particular?
You talking to me or talking to Brett?
I'm talking to you.
One thing in particular, hey, jerseys just changed. You keep going playing the game of basketball. Hey,
just only, more trade?
It's just more. Right now, it's more players' empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
But shit, if you got trade, I remember being in the locker room getting ready to go play another team, and this dude just got traded right. It's like he just gone from one locker room to the other. You go like, yo, man, where the fuck you going? And he like this. He like this because, you know, he like, oh, I got traded over here to Chicago, man. Shit. Hey, have a good one. Good luck. It's called a job. Keep getting that money.
But let me ask you this. Would there ever have been a time in your career, and I already know what you're going to say, but would there ever been a time in your career that you would have traded jerseys with the opposition with another player?
Oh, that's a new thing.
Yeah, no, because I couldn't trade a jersey back then. We get fined because we only had two of them. We had two home and two away. And if you fucked any of them up, you had to pay for it. Come on, Brad. I'm keeping it.
That reminds me of my high school.
If you had an opportunity back then and they had extra jerseys like they do now, would you have ever traded a jersey with an opposing player?
Hell no.
Hell no, but the way it is now, you can get my get my damn jersey off the wall and sell that fucker for about $3,000-$4,000. All depends on if you got the money, baby. In all seriousness, hell no, I wouldn't have traded no jersey with no other
team. I would have loved to have seen you trade jerseys with Kevin McHale. You or Kevin McHale, or trade with Larry Bird.
I ain't even want to trade jerseys with my teammates. Why would I want to change? Just, shit, you know, man. You know what it is? It's like, you know, because of the marketing, and all of a sudden it becomes, you know, the collectors. And everything becomes, you know, like Michael Jordan's Converse Chuck Taylor shoes that he had on in college went for $1 million. Wow. You know, you look at it, it's like, well, it's like, damn, ain't that trash? You know, you go like, isn't the bottom of the things explode? What do we used to do? Throw them away. Now it's like, you know, Kareem goggles or, you know, wear these goggles. It's like, man, you look at people be asking me, you got some old stuff that you know you don't want. And I'm sitting there going like, well, how much you want to pay me? Because it's like, listen, it's all about money now. I mean, your autograph, they want to make sure that you got blood on it so you can have it, so it can be authenticated. And so I got my championship jerseys up on my wall. And I even got my college jerseys up on my wall in my office. But it's like, well, how much you want to say? It's like, damn, if I was like in desperate need of some money. But then again, I might be like Bill Russell, sell all that shit. I ain't going nowhere. Get your money. Get it. Because if you want to give me $50,000 for a damn ring that costs $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000, show me the money.
That's a good investment. That's right. That's right.
But even with these jerseys now, you got to look at that. They're all authenticated because now they got numbers in it, you know, the dates and all that stuff. And you go like, do I want so-and-so jersey? Because I may make some money off this one later on in life. So you never know. Kobe stuff is hot. You know, everybody's looking to have a piece of history.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But no, yeah, I wouldn't trade
my jersey. That's the way it is nowadays.
Look, I wouldn't trade my jersey. If I was playing today and I had to check, man, I don't want nobody funky-ass jersey.
No, that's right.
Because hey, listen, you don't know, we had to wash our shit on the road.
Some people didn't do it.
Nah,
I'm sure there was a bunch of people who did it.
You know,
I can't imagine.
I'm gonna jump in real quick because I'm gonna ask Rick this. You were involved in one of the most iconic plays in Celtic history. Yeah, I'm gonna tell you, just wait a minute. When you threw the ball off of Jerry Seastes, when you guys were playing in the playoffs and you were like, yes, sir, and it was going the other way. Take us through what happened after that.
Yeah, what's this?
You were looking at me all crazy when I said you were involved in one of the most iconic plays. You're like, what?
Yeah, he was thinking it was going to be a bad player or something.
I thought it was going to be a fight or some shit. No, damn. No, here, Brad, let me just say this to you. At that particular time, you know, like I said, played, my defense was what I always did, and knocked it off of Oh, no, I knocked it off of Bird.
I thought it was off Jerry Seastie's.
No, it was Bird.
Okay.
And I was pumping my fist, but I was looking over there at the bench, and Chuck Daly was telling me to call timeout because I'm the guy that takes the ball out. And that doggone Isaiah took the ball out. And I love Zeke to death. And I'm going to tell you, he said it. He had a brain fart, whatever. But he was, because I'm the one that's supposed to get the ball.
Now I know what play we're talking about now.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm sitting there looking, pumping my fist and looking at Chuck. Chuck was caught, had the timeout high in the air. And I'm getting turned around. I'm about to tell the referee timeout. No, he took the ball out, tried to get it into Joe. They got Bird stole the ball.
Then
DJ
got the layup. That was the hard part.
And that was game five. And it's like, jeez. It's like, damn, we done fought these Celtics so long. And, you know, and they were a very good team. And then finally, you know, then we had to play game six to go home. But in that locker room, it was just sad that, you know, Isaiah felt really bad because he knew I was supposed to take the ball out. But I don't bring that up to him all the time.
We had a chance to talk to him about that play. And he said, man, he said, I felt like shit when I got in that locker room. He said, everybody just kind of looked at me. And
the
coolest thing about it, I think, was he was talking about the sixth game that was played, I guess, in Detroit. And he said Larry Bird dapped him up before the game. So, man, it's okay. Because I think as ball players, we have a kinship. And we know when somebody fucked up. And we know when great players do what they do. But that was so cool for Larry to do that. And, you know, for Isaiah to feel like that. And for you guys to play the way you did in those upcoming games.
Yeah, because we had to play game six at home. And if we didn't win that one, we'd have lost. But you know, every time we go down there, you know I hate that damn leprechaun in the middle of the fucking floor. I try to kick that shit. If I can get over there and just scrape his face off there. All but
right, you're trying to Kyrie Irving that. Yeah, he's trying to Kyrie.
But you don't know something. It was just the fact that we had, you know, it was the competition we had back then. It was never, you know, I don't like Chief. I don't like, you know, Mikhail. I don't like Brad. You know, it's not a dislike. It's just 48 minutes. I'm going to try to kill you because I want to beat you. And it's like, I ain't got no friendship with you for 48 minutes. Jeff Rulin is my brother. Bill Laimbeer, much as people don't like him, he's my brother. But if I have to play, I'm trying to kick their ass.
Yeah.
And then if we're really friends, you're going to tell me, you know, we'll go get something to eat after the game or something like that. But I never held any ill will to any of the players that played in my presence, you know, and the ones that played before me, because I missed the Tommy Heinsohns that talk all that shit, the Paul Silas's, and they be like, I'm sitting there. I remember telling Tommy, I said, I wish I'd have played back. I'd have kicked your ass. Tommy was like, he just, you know how, hey, Brad, you know how he pulled back and them shoulders get back. It's like, damn, I'm done pissed him off. I ain't messing with him. I don't give a shit. I give all the players respect that played before me, and hopefully these guys that's playing after me get the same respect.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The world isn't wide enough. Get immersed in the expansive views of the 48-inch customizable panoramic display in the all-new 2024 Lincoln Nautilus Hybrid. Explore more at Lincoln.com. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
So I'm going to guess that the Celtics, was that the favorite team you like to go up against? If so, a particular player. If not, what's a team or player, your favorite opponent?
Well, mine was the Celtics because I was from Hartford, Connecticut. And I got tired of all them fuckers in Connecticut that were Boston fans. Ooh,
stop it.
Man, the hometown wasn't cheering for you?
Hell no, because they boot. Listen, this is when Brad and them knew my name. Ricky, kiss your mama. He said, kiss your mama, Ricky. That look, dog on Ricky, Doc Curly.
Look, we got to set that up because it was such a beautiful moment. Rick Mahorn coming back to Hartford. And Celtics.
Oh, you guys are playing in Hartford. Game,
win them games down in Hartford. And the mayor of.
No, he wasn't the mayor. He wasn't the mayor. That was the Doc Hurley, who was like the, ambassador.
Yeah, well, the ambassador came out, and the ambassador just says, all of a sudden, he says, Ricky, and Rick Mahorn's mom was there. All of a sudden, he said, Ricky, kiss your mama, Ricky, kiss your mama. And for the rest of the night, that's all we were saying.
Rick Mahorn,
kiss your mama.
But Brad, I'm going to tell you something. You know, it's funny. That's when Larry Bird, we're in a car together. I'm posting him up. And he's laughing. And he was telling me something. He's like, because you started that shit. Kiss your mama. And then we planned.
You started that, Mac? Boo-
hey, listen, I didn't start that shit.
They were booing me in Hartford. I'm like, well, motherfucker, I'm from here. As soon as that shit started, I said, man, I hate Boston. And I was rooting for the Knicks all the time. I couldn't stand Boston. Still don't like Boston.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
Oh, man. Rick's like, yo, I'm the best dude to come out this city. What's going on?
Here's one of the things I found out about Ricky. He won't remember this. He will not remember this thing. But the first time I saw Rick Mahorn after a game, I saw him at a IHOPs out in Landover, Maryland, after the game, up there with a fine light skinned honey. I was like, I'm young fella. I said, you got it like that? You rolling like that?
Hey, listen. That's Hampton, baby. That was all Hampton, boy. That HBCU ratio was 10-1. I wasn't bullshitting.
Man, that girl had not missed a meal because her booty was woo-wee. I was like, damn, girl.
And it wasn't one of them prefab booties either, bro.
No, they won't.
What do they call it? IBCs or whatever the hell.
You're right, right.
BFFs, I don't know. Shit.
Natural.
But,
nah,
but it was, you know what? Playing against, and what I miss about not playing is the camaraderie.
Yeah.
You know, right now you see the camaraderie with me and Brad. Yes. We can sit down and have a great time. And just go, and you know, and everybody else, it's all about respect.
Not when we played, though. Fuck that.
Yeah. I wanted a piece of that ass every time, and I didn't give a shit.
Do you dislike the way it is today? Real quick.
I never got hit so hard before in my life.
I want to hit it.
I want to see you black now, but I won't go there. But he hit me so hard. And then stood over me, flexing. But I tell you what, I was going to get his ass back sometimes at night. I can tell you that.
Well, I'm going to say, you know, compared to today's game, I mean, do you dislike that? I mean, you got guys going to each other's, you know, weddings and stuff. They're hanging out. They're working out together during the off season. Do you dislike that about today's NBA?
No, I mean, this is what it is. You know what? As long as it doesn't translate on the court where you're playing brother-in-law ball, you know, if he comes in there, I mean, you ain't going to hit your friend, then I'm going to hit your friend. And then I'm going to hit your ass in practice the next day. Because I remember, and I ain't saying no names.
Say a name.
Give me one.
So I'm telling, you know, we playing Chicago, Brad. We playing Chicago, and I'm with Philadelphia. Okay. And I'm up here. You know, we playing them the next round after I left Detroit. And I'm like, all right, we're playing Chicago. And we beat them 4-1 during the regular season. That's when we won the division. And I told Barkley, I said, all right, next thing, you got to hit Michael Jordan. No, that's my friend. The motherfucker. Brad, I went like this. Huh? Motherfucker, I want to fuck my friend up for 48 minutes. And every time Charles ain't fuck him up, we lost in the playoffs twice. And I'm sitting there going like, and then Charles gets to the finals with Philly. I mean, not with Philly, with Phoenix. And they play Chicago. And he was, I said, you know, and now they don't talk. So it's like, you know what? You should have hit that motherfucker.
Yeah,
right there. You
know, yeah.
if these are your real friends, look, I'll hit Lambeer, I'll hit Jeff Rulin, but we're gonna go have some fun after. This is nothing. Don't take shit personal. This is what we do for a living. I don't like all that buddy shit. I ain't helping you up. I'd probably kick the shit out of you if I could.
Here's a great question. Did you ever think that Charles Barkley was going to be as iconic as he is now? Because you've seen this growth from when he was in Philly to now to being like this bigger than life person.
I saw it because he was bigger than life remember when he first got into Sports Illustrated and trying out for the Olympics and, you know, eating all his pizza, and they really did a great job of, you know, advertising him, the round mound, the rebound, and then he gets in the league. That motherfucker was good. That motherfucker was good. When I tell you, he could, that tractor trailer truck would be moving and he could get up in there. And I ain't never see a guy 6'4" that can jump from a standstill and duck on 2 7-footers. I thought he would be as iconic as he is. I think it's more the bullshit that he talks, because he's been talking that bullshit since the first day that I played with him. And now all of a sudden it becomes, you know, it's popular in America's culture. And I ain't mad at him. Say what's on your mind. Make all the money in the world. Do Charles Barkley, Subway commercials, Eat Fresh, whatever. He's the new Black Jared. So, you know what? I ain't mad at him in his commercials. I respect all the plays. I saw the other day, Brad? I saw the Brad Doherty.
Wow.
And Brad Doherty and his car racing, I was proud of just to talk to him about his car racing, you know, diversity outside of basketball. When I even see a Junior Bridgman, you know, or Vinnie Johnson, guys that are doing stuff that's off the court, I'm so proud of that. I ain't got no jealousy in there. But then I also want to say, well, put a brother down. Well, I like some cheese too.
when you were talking to Brad Doherty, did it sound like you're talking to a white guy?
No, country boy. he gets down there. He's got that country, that North Carolinian country, man. But I tell you, the boy, the Phoenix. I mean, you remember back in the day, Cleveland was them. Nobody mentions Cleveland, but they had him, Mark Price, Hot Rod. Oh man, and them motherfuckers was balling.
I'm gonna tell you, another dude that is underrated was Mike Mitchell. Now that dude, I don't give a damn who you were guarding him. That damn jump shot, me and Kevin McHale talked about that. We was like, the dude that we couldn't stop, that was that dude that nobody ever talked about. I mean, he packed out, bless his soul, he passed away, but man, he was a damn scoring machine. He would light your ass up.
But I'm gonna tell you what disappoints me about the new generation. They don't look at the past and see what the old generation has given us. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't, like I said, I'm excited for these young men, but when you look at it, do your homework. What was this team before you, even before you were born? Cause half of them weren't even around. They have to look on the YouTube to see what I've done or what Brad has done. When you see us, talk to us. You know, we want this legacy to keep going. Because, like, you just brought up Mike Mitchell. I bring up Marcus and Mickey Johnson. Them two motherfuckers, when they were on in Milwaukee, you go like, well, damn. Then you go Bob Lanier. Or they'll see somebody and say, it ain't all about the Dr. J's. It ain't all about the Larry Birds. It's all about them other worker bees. Like, I did my homework on Earl Lloyd. I was like, oh man, the first Black player to ever play in the NBA game. or what did he have to go through in order for us to have betterment? You know, I mean, you got to look at these guys, him and Ray Scott, guys that come in this league and say, damn, did y'all, you know, you see where we're standing at the Ritz-Carlton's back then, they had to stay where the Negroes only.
Yeah, yeah. That was something that I talked to Sam Jones about, the great Sam Jones with the Celtics. He said he was in, I think he's Fort Wayne, Indiana, and they were playing, and that day,
playing the Pistons.
They went someplace to eat. And he said, I was faster than anybody else. So I got my tray and I ran up there and I was going to check out. And the lady looked at him and said, sorry, sir, we don't serve colors. And I was like, damn. And when he told me that, the look on his face was still hurt. But it was like, it's like, man, it was incredible.
Yeah. I mean, if you ever do another, you know, if you want me back on, but that's what the history of the plight of the African-American in professional sports. I mean, these young men are staying in Ritz-Carlton's Four Seasons. And then you go back, or you're eating in these top flight restaurants. But back then you couldn't eat. You had to go eat some slop over here, or they look at you and call you the N-word, and you had to sit there, or you couldn't drink out of the water fountain.
Yeah.
Or you couldn't go in the bathroom. This the segregation back then, and you go like, damn, they did all. And that's why when I, coming from a historically black college, I knew about that. Mm-hmm. You know, knowing that it was black, this is black history, and I'm built from black history. And you go like, we don't, at a black college, we don't have the training tables. We got to go to the cafeteria just like everybody else. And if you didn't get nothing to eat, you better make sure somebody on that your floor got one of them grills and get you a hamburger or something. Man, that's what I don't like about the new generation. They don't understand the history, the plight of the, especially the African American young men that are in there. Learn your history, knowing that someone had to do this in order for you to do that.
Right. Well, Rick, I was going to say earlier, man, you mentioned, we talked about Michael Jordan. I was thinking about 2020 and, you know, The Last Dance, how everyone's eyes were glued to the TV every Sunday with the world shut down, COVID shut down and all that. What was that experience like for you? You know, he spent a good deal talking about the Pistons and getting over that hump. And just what was your reaction overall to what he said about the Pistons and Isaiah and just the whole thing?
Man, I ain't watched that shit. 10 hours of my
time. Come on, Greg. I know you saw segments.
Here's my right hand to God. I didn't watch that shit, and I didn't.
Oh man, during the pandemic, what were you doing Sunday night? Chilling,
watching. I got kids and shit. I'm sitting there watching movies and shit that I ain't seen in a long time. I ain't traveled, but I wasn't watching no fucking Last Dance. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Because the last time I remember when I was in a Pistons uniform, I whooped that ass.
Ooh.
All right.
So I dropped the mic. I just dropped the mic.
Yeah, you dropped the mic, brother. Hey, man, thank you for coming on with us, brother. We appreciate it. And I'm going to see you down the road, man. I'll catch you in Detroit.
Ain't nothing but love, brother. And had that motherfucker start calling me and texting me. Should I tell him?
Rick, you loved it.
He hard-headed. You're going to have to.
All right, Joe.
I forgot you was out west, Rick. I forgot you was out west.
No shit.
We'll holler later.
All right, boy. Love y'all. Talk to y'all.
Rick Mahorn, appreciate you.